It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And I know we have Cynthia Hoffmeister there. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And Janet, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
All right. We have managed to
be
successful. Wow. Well, you know, I look at the front page of the Lakeville Journal, and it's interesting because you have a couple of great stories on COVID-19, one about the breakthroughs, one about the crackdown highlights on lax reporting by nursing homes. Then you go down, you have the obstetrics unit at the Sharon Hospital, then the discussions on the rally that's coming up. This is definitely a medical front page, even though you do have a picture of Halloween there.
Well, we have four skeletons in there. So. Yeah. But yeah, we think of ourselves primarily as a government-centered and culture-centered newspaper. And I would say lately, healthcare has really been, you know, in the last year, healthcare has been one of our top topics. And so, very important on the COVID stories, Deborah Alexinus had started a story for us for last week on the new very high numbers of gear. And as we were discussing it, it just seemed to all of us, it was the numbers seem inconsistently super high at some places and inconsistently zero at other places. So we held the story for a week and Deb did some additional looking. And as she had been calling the State Department of Public Health, she had kind of said, you know, it's just funny that the numbers are so high at a couple of places. And as she was phoning around, a couple of people said, yeah, I think that maybe people aren't really fully reporting. So she looked into that, and as we were getting ready with this issue, the state actually issued a report on the numbers of people who have been vaccinated and saying people are not correctly reporting. And then we have additional reporting from her on a topic that's also maybe more important to us, which is the nursing homes seem to be reporting in a slightly different way, and this is not to cast aspersions on anybody or to say anybody's doing anything wrong, but just to say the numbers are so radically different from facility to facility that she takes a look into it and gives some statistical thought to it. You know, also, we have Dr. James Shepherd from Sharon, epidemiologist at right now at Yale New Haven, very experienced worldwide guy, who's been great at commenting with us on why COVID is spreading the way it's spreading and about the waning power of the vaccines.
You know, but you're so right. And the problems with nursing homes is not only started in New York. It's a countrywide problem that there's just no standard enforced reporting. That's a standard. So nursing homes are out there on their own, doing their own thing. I mean, when they report these things, it's a catch-22 situation.
Right.
I think it's interesting though on your other stories on the front page, with of course our representatives Craig Miner and also Maria Horn, your telephone interview with them, Not only that, but at this rally, we're going to have political leaders from both states. This is very, very interesting to me.
It's interesting. It's great to see people using their community power and getting out a grassroots effort. So that is the Save Sharon Hospital rally on Saturday. There's also a Sharon-sponsored Zoom conference on Friday, November 5th at 1, and I think that might be oversubscribed already, but go ahead and check the link.
But there's a second one coming up at the Interlake, and also that people can find out about as well.
Which is coming up, that we have all the 18th, we have all the information on logging in there. And those are all an important opportunity for people to comment on what they want. And as Maria Horn points out in Patrick's interview with her, they still have to go through the hearings with the state and get their certificate of need to close down those units or change those units as they're proposing. So certainly public comment will be important to that process.
All right. And it's nice to see the pictures of the pumpkin run and the skeletons on the front page, because it's a little step back towards normalcy to have all this stuff happening around us.
Having zombies running around the street is sadly a step toward normal. No, actually, it was great in Salisbury. I think we gave away 450 pieces of candy on a Sunday night. Everybody was super polite. And shout out to Lisa McAuliffe, the rec director in Salisbury, who apparently had all of the teens and older kids meet up at the ball field in Salisbury, and they had an epic shaving cream fight. And by the time they got to our house at around 7 o'clock, all the older kids were so polite and so exhausted and so covered with shaving cream. So
and, you
really
know, and it's also great the way they got together in Falls Village and did what they did as a townwide function as well for people.
Beautiful, beautiful decorated trucks and cars. So we didn't have room for all of the photos, and of course we don't always have color on all the pages, but if you go to our Instagram page for the Lakeville Journal, we have fantastic photos from Alexander Wilburn, from the Falls Village Rec Director, from Patrick Sullivan, and from me. We have a photo from Sharon in North Canaan of some of the decorated houses. We don't have anything from Kent, but we have a ton of Pumpkin Run photos.
All right. As we go to the inside page, for people, we're talking about pandemics and we're talking about health issues, but I remember that Veterans Day is coming up, and you've got a nice story that recounts and shows what's going on for people to participate on Veterans Day.
And of course, most of the schools will have some kind of a ceremony on the day that they're open. They'll be closed, of course, on Veterans Day. But the Couch Pipa?
I call it Pipa, and I always have, and you know what? I just can't stop myself, so I that's why.
All right,
I call
then
it.
That's two of us. So it's Couch Pipa and North Canaan. Normally, they do the ceremony at the Doughboy this year because there's being road construction done in that whole area. It will be actually at the Legion Hall on Route 7. And Kent, of course, will be doing something led by Brett Kallstrom, and Salisbury will have its traditional ceremony by Town Hall.
All right, and you've got there's a couple of food drives. You've got the story about Salisbury Bank, their food drive, and the Sunday in the Country well underway now for their food drive for Thanksgiving.
And boy, is the need going to be bigger than ever this year, so people should not be shy to donate as much as they can.
And a nice story on the dedication for Tim Riley at Veterans Field and a picture there. I mean, that's just a really nice, heartwarming story.
Well, and the Riley family is very important. Even if you don't know the Riley family, you know the Riley family. If you're, especially if you have kids who are active in athletics. There's Kevin Riley in the photo. Tim Riley, I don't think I ever met him, but really active participant in sports in the area, and had passed away. And a lot of donations were sent to the Rec Commission in Sharon, and they've dedicated some benches to him over at Veterans Field, which is really turning into a super luxurious, wonderful spot for families.
It's always been a great spot, but the improvements over the past 10 years are amazing, and it's I would call it one of the best rec areas that we have anywhere within a 50-mile radius around here. I want to go on to the next couple of stories, and that is the affordable housing views at the Cornwall Forum, and then the concerns about the Sharon Land Trust plans on River Road.
So the affordable housing, there actually has been a subsequent meeting to this, and Leela's covering them in a great detail, which is fantastic. This is a very important issue for all of our towns. And as the state is requiring all towns to have an affordable housing plan, Cornwall's got everybody involved. This is one first meeting. We'll have the second part of this in our issue of November 11th. And then over on River Road, again, this whole issue of people coming up to the area, parking where they shouldn't be parking, having inadequate parking, having inadequate facilities for bathrooms, but also these are areas that are not really recreational areas and not designed for it. The roads are very small, and there's some talk about the land trust now preserving some land up at the top of Dawn Hill, and the neighbors are saying, I mean, this is one of the great ironies, is when a bunch of fairly open-minded, conservation-minded road residents say, we'd actually rather have you build five houses up there than have you have an addition of more cars coming for trails. It's a difficult face-off, and I would say Sharon Land Trust could be a little bit more transparent on the process, and they're all working that out together.
All right. I want to move on to your editorial page for just for a few moments, Janet. Responsibility for the environment starts at home.
That's right. We're hearing a lot about worldwide what needs to be done for global warming, and COP26 is going on in Glasgow right now until November 12th. So it can feel overwhelming to try to think of what can be done, but we have issues that can be addressed right here in our northwest corner in the region, and need to think about that carefully, especially with the facility outside Hartford, Mirror, closing down in 2022. We need to find responsible and environmentally aware ways of disposing of our trash. So it all becomes local.
And what's great about that, not only do you help the environment, but you're going to help your budget, because it's going to be very expensive, the changeover that's going to happen to remove the trash from our stations to where it has to go. So it's a two-pronged thing. Don't only look at it as saving the environment. You're going to be saving a lot of money, because it's going to be very, unless we do that, it's going to be very, very expensive.
Right, and the towns are trying to look at ways to address that, but if we can actually reduce how much waste we need to dispose of, that will save us money.
Now, lots of letters to the editor from Sharon Hospital, to a letter on partisan politics, and this, I think the Sharon Hospital story has gotten a lot bigger, I think, than the heads at New Vance figured it would. I really do.
I wonder if they knew. You'd think they would have had an inkling, because this happened before, but we're glad to have all the letters we have about the services at Sharon Hospital that community members really want to keep here. And, you know, the hospital should be glad to hear all these positive comments about their maternity unit, because, it's not always easy to find people who are so very happy with the services they get at hospitals. So this is, in a way, a great compliment. But we'll see how they deal with that, and we're glad to have the letters we have from so many young families in the area who have used the hospital for their birthing suites and have been thrilled with how it went.
You've got a very interesting letter retelling a tale from Kathy Marlowe, which is really an impressive letter,
isn't it? You just never know what Kathy's going to come up with, and she starts with a quote and ends with a quote, and it's very well expressed. So do read this letter and read it carefully, and she'd love to hear from you if you find it.
Now, Jonathan Grisauskas has a contribution talking about the Music Cellar and the support it's gotten. And it's, once again, this is just a great, great, good-feeling story.
Isn't it? I think we can all use seeing something like this happening. Jonathan Grisauskas, Johnny G, as he's known to as a musician, grew up in Falls Village, was in my daughter's class at Hoosie and shared a birthday with her, and just a wonderful young man, and stuck around the area unlike so many others, and has taught music and played music and is just able to create a community of musicians and students of music. And it's just fantastic that through a GoFundMe campaign, he was able to raise enough money to have his own building in Millerton, the Music Cellar. So go in and visit him there. Congratulate him. He writes about, you know, his gratitude and how it went, and what he brings to the community, what he hopes to bring to the community.
It's just so important to have people. I know myself, I got into broadcasting, I always wanted to come back. I always wanted to come back, and I was able to come back and live in the area that I was raised in. And we need the ability to have that, to have young people maybe go away for a year or two, or maybe just stay here and do what they need to do, because we need that vitality and that forward thinking in our communities.
Yeah, it just changes the whole fabric of our communities to have something like this. So, you know, we're thrilled and proud that he was able to do this. And, I'd like to also say that the election results are...
I was just going to say that. That's the 600-pound gorilla, your election results are available.
They are up online at www.tricornernews.com right now. And... by all means, take a look. You know, it was a relatively quiet season on the Connecticut side, not so on the New York side. All the results from both states are up, and go and take a look.
There were actually, on the New York side, there's a mania what happened, which was an amazing thing. But also, it was a very contested contest in Kent. There was contested content in Cornwall as well. So even though it was a quiet time, there were still some some places where people could make very, very important decisions on who they want to lead their communities.
Isn't that the truth? And really, I should never say election season is quiet, because, you know, there is always something interesting happening. And, you know, kudos to all those who have run for office, and good luck to those who won. It's not a simple thing to do. There's a lot of controversy brewing in different ways in different towns, and it's not an easy time to lead these towns. So we wish them the best of luck and thank them for doing it.
All right, and want to just get a little plug in here. You've got the story about the Green Energy Forum, which is coming up at the Congregational Church in Salisbury.
Right. Go ahead. I'd love to encourage people also to take our survey. We have the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News surveys asking people what they like to see in the newspapers. We did this in 2019, and we're doing it again now. And, you know, it helped define the way we cover news and what we see as important to our readers, and that's what we want to know. So by all means, do it. You can clip it out of the paper, or you can go to tricornernews.com and fill it out there.
All right, and now we can go to Compass, because you've got quite a few interesting stories in Compass.
One of the most interesting is we had mentioned Chris Pooler's art show coming up. It's an installation. It's interactive at the Berkshire School. It's open to the public. And Chris, of course, is my neighbor, and his daughter was a summer intern with us, and he does wonderful work. And then my other neighbor, Etienne Delacerre, is friends with Chris and had emailed and said, I'd really like to do an article about Chris's show. And Etienne, such an interesting guy, also an artist, and an immigrant himself from Switzerland, did a whole, you know, write-up about Chris Pooler's show and about immigrants and especially about refugees and the plight of the refugees and Chris's beautiful work. So definitely read the article and go see that show. We have two long, detailed recipes from Dory Greenspan.
Oh, the caramel apple crisp is, I mean, wow.
Gorgeous, I know it. At this time of year, we all have apples that we picked up at farm stands and from our friends' yards and want to know what to do with them. It's getting to the point where you have to cook them or, you know, get rid of them. So definitely go click on tricornernews.com and find those two recipes. The other is for a chocolate mocha tart. This is incredible, a concert coming up on Thanksgiving weekend. Not just the David Bromberg Quintet, but Hot Tuna. Jorma Kaukonen and Jack Cassidy. So that's going to be amazing. Don't wait to get your tickets. It may be sold out already. Fundraiser for the Hudson Valley Philharmonic sounds so fascinating. Christoph Landon, he's a luthier, a maker of stringed instruments. I'll be talking about why it is that those instruments feel the most like the human expression of speaking, crying, laughing. A guy named Alexis Rockman is doing a show of his artwork that features turtles and other things, and in a sort of apocalyptic interesting way, but also talking about how much he loves turtles and has loved them since he was a kid. French cabaret music coming up at the Fisher Center at Bard. It's interesting because it's such a kind of posh modern place, and we love French cabaret music, so old-fashioned. And then Paul Jaliff, a very important sculptor internationally, but is based up here in the Hudson River Valley, and he and the husband-wife photographers Kenro and Yumiko Izo at a new gallery in Great Barrington, and that's open only until through Thanksgiving weekend, which is coming right up.
It's so scary. You know, I want to bring up two things that are coming up that you've got stories on that I think that are important that I skipped over and I shouldn't. And this is help for people. First of all, help for seniors on how to manage bills and more, which is coming up on November 11th at Noble Horizons. And then Understanding Medicare Options, November 9th and 16th. We see so many TV commercials that are fraudulent and wrong, and I think this session is an important session for anybody who, during this open enrollment time right now, is about set to go to open enrollment with Medicare and the insurance options.
And also the Access Health is happening right now, and having gone through this process with the incredible Janet Carlson, who's now on Cornwall Board of Selectmen, it's very easy when somebody has done it before, does it with you. It's very confusing when you have never done it before. So definitely do not be shy to sign up for these sessions. And we also just got a notice from the governor that the vaccines have been okayed for children.
Beginning today or tomorrow, yeah. They allocated enough in Connecticut where I think they can do on the first phase almost everybody, but they're going to split it up into two different sessions for children.
We did see spikes last year around Thanksgiving because so many families were coming together, and it's just not realistic to think about having masks at a family gathering, and you just don't know who's actually been vaccinated. So, why not? Why not get your kids protected?
Now, Janet, I want to go back to your survey because I think your survey is even more important this year than it was when you took it the last time, simply because you have become a nonprofit. And believe you me, the direction in which the stories you're going to cover and the support, the underwriting support you're going to get from businesses and other grants are very important that go along. And you can, if people fill out this survey, you better then can go out and look for grants and underwriting, knowing really with proof in hand what people want from the paper.
Exactly. This was really helpful to us in 2019 as well, because we were looking at redefining the publications at that time. And, we got over 300 responses, which is a really good percentage of, our readership in general survey terms. And we would love to exceed that this time, just for those reasons you just laid out, because we really do want to address what is most important for our readership. And, we can believe we know that, but until we hear it from them directly, we often do. We people will tell us what they like or don't like in the paper, but it really does make a difference if you can sit down and think about it. And if you read over these questions and think about it a little bit carefully, it won't take long to do the survey, but it will mean a lot to your local coverage.
Well, people should remember, if they're going in to purchase a car or purchase a home, you bring as much information as you can to let the lender know that you really need it and it's a worthwhile thing. Well, just imagine if you're a nonprofit. When you go looking for grants, you need substantial amount of proof of how that grant's going to be used, why it's important to the community. And that makes all the difference in the world when you go looking for grants and grant writing.
It really does. And what also helps us is the letters to the editor, yep, because it's such a direct, clear expression of what people are thinking. And so when we get lots of letters about single issues and together with what we hear in the survey, that will help us, I certainly hope.
All right. Well, folks, the Lakeville Journal, they join us every Thursday. And, of course, you can find them online, tricornernews.com, also at various locations for pickup, and you can get home delivery as well. Thanks, guys, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You once again can find them at tricornernews.com. And you can also find them here on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on on-demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.